Okay. So if you have your Bibles, we are in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read the entire chapter this morning. And I'm going to be reading from the ESV version as I normally do. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation plants, yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which there is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God said that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish and of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God said, And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. I can't tell you how much I hate reading in front of people. I will talk in front of people. I will pray in front of people. I don't really sing, but I'm not a reader. So thank you for bearing with me on that. And we're going to pray real quick, and then we'll begin to unpack this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this service that you have orchestrated. And for each and every person that is here this morning, whether they're in the children's area, whether they're here with the adults, Lord, we just want to worship you with everything that we say and do. Lord Jesus, help us as we look to your word and find you on every page of Scripture. Lord Jesus, help us just to have a big view of you. In Jesus' name. So, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this series is because it's probably been a long time since most of us have heard anything like this. And we're not going to get too much into worldly wisdom and evolution and things like this and things like that. What I really want us at the Way Church, this is what I want more than anything, is for us to understand what Jesus believes, and for us to believe what Jesus believes, and for us to treat the Word of God the way Jesus treats the Word of God. Okay? And, you know, with this week and in the next couple of weeks, I know there's a lot of critics that'll tell you, well, that's not the way science works, and that's not the way the evidence works, and evolution answers more of these questions than this. And all I will tell you with that is, number one, there is not consensus on that. Number two, if you listen to a lot of these experts and scientists, and some of them are very smart, let me tell you something. When you really start digging into what they believe in terms of evolution and all of these things, you want to know what one of their favorite phrases is? We don't know. And to be fair, that's because there's a lot that none of us know. Okay, but I will tell you this. We believe what Jesus Christ believes. These people that we're going to look at, whether it's Adam and Eve, whether it's Cain and Abel, whether it's Noah, these are real people that really lived, that Jesus Christ and other Bible writers treat as actual real people. Okay, and so when we read this, again, really for the next 9 weeks, what is popular in modern times is to allegorize what we're going to read here. It's not really real. I mean, you really think Noah got two of every kind of animals and put them on a boat? Have you ever been to the Ark Encounter?
Yeah.
Go down there. Yeah, that's a good place to go. Okay. Or do you really believe? And what happens is this. Although we believe in faith everything Jesus believes. But what happens is when you start getting into these initial parts of the Word of God, we start to see the origins of how we got here, why we have value, why it matters the way we treat other people. And it also, if you allegorize all this, this also is the origins of the sin epidemic that is in this world. So if we start to allegorize all these things and start to look at it the way we kind of want to look at it, these are just kind of parables that we're told, that is what Satan wants us to do with the problem that we have, which is sin. And if we don't understand the problem, we will not see a need for the answer, which is Jesus. Okay, so that's kind of one of the main reasons why I want to do this for the next 9 weeks. I want us to see what the Word of God says about how we got here, how we spiraled in, off the tracks, and ultimately how Jesus Christ is the answer for all of these things. So let's go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I want to tell us all something, and this is something we don't talk a lot about, and this is something that's easy to not really focus on, because it's something that's hardly ever mentioned anymore. The thing that we need more than anything in this world is a big, big, big view of God. We do not want to diminish God. We do not want to make God in our image and shrink God down into a size that we can digest and we can fully understand. No, you can't worship what you fully understand. You can't worship what you can fully digest. There should be a sense of awe when you think of God. We need a big view of God that bolsters a life of worship unto God.
Amen.
You see, and I said this a few weeks ago, it's something I say quite a bit, that's the primary thing God is looking for, are people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So when we think about the beginning of the world, we want to think about this, that in the beginning, God created it all. When our God speaks, universes come into existence.
That's right.
For the life of me, I don't know why we don't talk more about this. In every church, I don't care what denominational sign is in front of it. Do you know how awesome this is to tell you? This is kind of what we would call low-hanging fruit, in the sense of, if you can't preach a text like this, it may not be God's will for you. This is awesome. And this God who created the heavens and the earth, what does He want with you and me? He does not keep us at a distance. No, that is the false gods of false religions. This God, who when He speaks, universes come into existence, He wants you to come to Him.
Amen.
Come into the shelter of the shadow of His love and protection, yeah, of His power and of His greatness. He wants to be near you. He wants to fill you. We're going to see at the end here today, He's going to work with us to spread His light into this world and to be fruitful and to multiply and to subdue the world with His love and with His gospel. This God that created everything. Now, again, there are skeptics and there are people that will tell you, well, Steve, don't you know that this was only written about 6,000 to 10,000 years ago? Don't you know that these rocks and these hills and these mountains and these fossils and all of these things are millions of years old or tens of thousands of years old? We'll get into more of that next week, but I don't even bat an eye. It's not even a blip on my radar. When the Bible says that God created it, He created it.
Amen.
And if God created it, He could create it to look as any way that He wants. God here, and we're going to see this week and next week, did not create little babies. He creates things with age.
Amen.
Now, why is this so important for me to tell you? Because we live in a mission field where our kids, many of them, most of them go into public schools. And I want to say, I think Wadsworth is some of the better ones around as far as being more reasonable than some. And so I don't want to badmouth our school system or anything like that. But at the end of the day, in the public school system, these kids will be taught things as if they are facts. As if we don't have brilliant men and women of God for thousands of years that haven't looked at these things and scrubbed it against science and scrubbed it against history. And it is able to stand up. Okay? God creates. He can create with age baked into it, as He did with Adam and Eve. Didn't create little babies. He could have created a rock to look millions of years old. What does that do? It tells us something about Him. He is eternal. He is the Ancient of Days. He has no beginning. He has no end. When we read in the beginning, not the beginning of God, but the beginning of the world in this time-space continuum that we live in. So, I could look, and there's not even consensus on that. When, you know, there's some that'll say, well, that if you date it this way, it's this old. If you do it this way, it's this old. I don't care how old the test says it is. That does not mean that God did not create it that way. Why did God create the universe so massive?
Yeah.
Why did He create it so big? Well, we don't really know for sure, but again, God's telling us something about Himself.
Amen.
He is endless. He is infinite. Our God you can come to him. I didn't know it was going to take me this long to get through one verse, but I want to let you know something. As you leave this place this morning, as we go about our day and go about our week, we go into work, we look at our finances, we think about our family, we do the things we need to do. We're dealing with sicknesses. We're dealing with just the day-to-day things in this world. I want you to know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke it, and it was.
Amen.
Steve, can God have used evolution? No. How do you know that? Well, again, we're going to get into the words of Jesus here in a minute. But Jesus says, no. At the beginning of creation, he created God. He created man, male and female. At the beginning of creation. And any evolutionary point of view will tell you that humans are at the end of creation, right? And then it just stopped. But we won't go down that rabbit trail. We barely have time to get through this rabbit trail. Jesus, I believe what Christ believes. And I want you to believe what Jesus believes. And if you don't, and I get a little fiery, and almost always I don't get fiery towards the world. They don't have eyes to see this, that Satan is the master manipulator. He's the master liar. He's the counterfeiter. We're going to talk about gender here in just a little bit. But to the church, to those that follow Christ, believe what Jesus says. He created man at the beginning of creation.
Yes.
Not over millions of years. Not over random chance. He didn't use evolution. Could God have used evolution? He could have. And if that's what the text said, we would happily just say, 450 million years ago, a tadpole was made somehow out of nothing, but don't ask questions. And then it became, that germ became a tadpole, and then the tadpole became a half turtle, half, If that's what it said, I don't care really how he chose to do it. But I do care that when how he tells us how he did it, as Christians, we stand with that.
Amen.
I want you to have a big view of God. I want you to have a big view of God. See, in the American church and in society in general, we have a small view of God where he's going to do what I tell him to do. And he is here for my joy. He is here for my glory. He is here for my advancement. And what happens? You get in real life. When you get cancer, you get a medical issue, you have financial problems, you have relational problems, and all of a sudden you don't have a God that's very big, do you? Mm-hmm. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says he created with his words.
Yes.
He created everything that there is.
Yep.
Jesus is Lord over all of creation. He took the primary role in creation. Now, I want to say something here. We're going to read some cross references here in a second. But I want to tell you guys something. The Bible all over says that Jesus Christ is our creator. Jesus is the creator. Now, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they are in perfect unity. That does not mean that they were not all involved in some way. But listen, when we say Jesus is Lord of all, sometimes we sing these songs, sometimes we say these things, and those are good things to do. Understand this. If Jesus is our creator, then Jesus is our Lord. He is our master. He is in charge. He is what it is all about. He is who we serve. He created us. Jesus took the primary role in creation. John 1:1. In the beginning, now notice that almost sounds really similar to what we read here in Genesis. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus is God. He was in the beginning with God. All things, listen, all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. If you're ever talking to a Jehovah's Witness, and I don't know if you ever have, that might scare some people to death. If you don't feel equipped to get into some of that stuff, you just be led by the Spirit. But this is one of the last places they want to go because they believe Jesus was created. Okay? That's not what the Bible says. There is nothing that was created that was not created by Jesus. All things were made through him. This is Jesus. This is the one, again, that is telling you, come to me with your heavy burdens, and I will give you rest, and I will die for you, and I will bring you near to me. This God created all things. Sometimes we have a diminished view of Jesus because when we read in the New Testament, we read in the Gospels, we see him in his emptied form. We see him humbling himself, emptying himself, so that he could live this life for us and ultimately what? Die on the cross and pay the penalty of our sins. But I want to tell you, keep reading. Keep reading throughout your Bible. Get to the book of Revelation, and you will see Jesus in all of his majesty, in all of his power, in all of his glory.
Go ahead.
That is the Jesus you will stand before. We will all stand before. And that is the Jesus that said, "Let it be," and it was. Be, and it was.
Amen.
He created the heavens and the earth. John 1:9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Again, Jesus. The world, we just read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Just in case John maybe just got fixated on one thing, let's read what the writer of Hebrews says. Long ago, we don't know who that writer is. That has been lost to history, but that doesn't matter. It is an inspired book of our New Testament. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Now, that's the writer of Hebrews. So we've seen John. We've seen the writer of Hebrews. Let's see what Paul says. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 15. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, so you could stop there and say, wait a minute, he's the firstborn of all creation. What does that mean? Well, I can tell you what it doesn't mean because we got to keep reading. For by him, all things were created. If he was created, that's a false statement, and our Bibles are not false. Firstborn of creation. There's even ancient Jewish writings that says that God is the firstborn. He's the head of it. That means he is in charge. He is sovereign over all of creation. For by him, by Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And I know I have dwelt here for a while, but listen to me. We live in a time. This is what it's about, biblical literacy, to understand when we come to Christ, we do not come to a limp-wristed sky fairy. We do not come to a humble, marginalized Galilean peasant that is barely worthy of anything, let alone our worship and our adoration. This is God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is worthy of our worship and who we should come to when we go through the trials of this life, who we should come to ultimately to be the Savior of our sins. I want you to have a big view of God, a big view of Jesus. I don't want you to have a big view of yourself. And that might be the most counter-cultural thing I could tell you. It is not about you having a big view of yourself, but having a big view of God. I hope you guys worship Jesus all week long. Maybe you sing songs. Maybe it's just more of an attitude and a heart posture. But I want you, as you're going through your days, going through your weeks, to have a big view of God. Don't have a small view of him. Genesis 1:3, and God said, because next we're going to look first at our big view of God. That's the first thing we looked at, that God created. Secondly, how did he create the world? Genesis 1:3, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. We've already talked about this, but again, we're not talking about an allegory. We're not talking about just kind of a fable or somebody's best guess. I read in a commentary, you know, we believe that Moses wrote this, or at least put it in what we know as the book of Genesis, but it is very likely, and you may have never heard this before, and I'm not saying this is true or 100%, but it is very likely that Adam wrote about this. You see, when I think of Adam and Eve, when I think about how I grew up, and it's just, it is what it is. I don't think it's necessarily anybody's fault. I think of almost like a caveman who is running around the Garden of Eden, and it, you know, before they had to wear clothes, it was kind of weird and everything. He was more like a caveman, and the 15 minutes in, he did, oh man, I sinned. In 15 minutes, I blew it, you know.
That's true.
Could you imagine living in this world with no sin? Nothing to hinder your mind, nothing to hinder your capabilities. Who knows what Adam wrote down? Who knows? We don't know, so I don't want to say that's 100% it. But it could have just been divine revelation from the Holy Spirit to Moses. But it is possible that Adam wrote this stuff down. How it started, what the garden was like, how they messed up, looking for the Messiah, looking for the seed of the woman. So these are not, again, these are not sheerly symbolic, but there's lots of symbolism in this creation account. Jesus created this world and this time-space continuum out of nothing. In the same way, he creates us spiritually out of nothing. We need to know before we come to Christ, we bring nothing good in and of ourselves. Jesus does not improve upon an already pretty good thing when he saves us. We are dead. We are like a pile of dirt over in the Middle East that God picked up and created man and woman. That's how he created Adam. Yep. We're going to read about that next week. He literally picks up a pile of dirt and breathes in it. That's what Jesus does for us when we get saved.
Amen.
And we contribute nothing to our salvation. Now, again, big view of God.
Yeah.
See, the popular thing would be like, man, you know, God just, he just helped you to be better, and you were kind of a co-contributor to your salvation. You were dead in your trespasses.
Yep.
Completely dead. Completely not in the equation. You did nothing to save yourself, and neither did I.
Yep. Yep.
Just like Adam did nothing to create himself, Jesus did it. God did it. Just like Lazarus did nothing to bring himself forth out of that tomb. Well, it feels like I did something, man. I called upon the name of the Lord. Yes, you did. You called upon the name of the Lord. You received Christ. You confessed with your mouth. I agree with you. But not until he did what he did.
Amen.
In the same way there was darkness physically, we have darkness spiritually until Jesus shines his light into us. There was darkness, the Bible says. And then God says, let there be light. John 1:4, in him was light, and the life was the light of men. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, these are actual things that happened. God created the heavens, the earth, the lights, the expanse, but they are pointing to spiritual realities.
Yep.
Jesus is the light of this world. So, we look at the light. Let's look at a summary, just to kind of save us some time. Let's look at a summary of these other things that we read about in creation. Day one, light. Genesis 1, 3 and 5, through 5. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He separated the light from the darkness, calling the light day and the darkness night. If you track through your Bible, you know, and you look at the spiritual relevance of that symbol, light is often associated with God's presence and guidance. When you look at the light and you look at the creation of God, that should be a sermon illustration of you, of who Jesus is to you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I can't see where I'm going if I don't have a light. I don't know what is right and wrong, safe or dangerous. I don't know if I'm close to where I need to go unless I have light. God created the light, and God is our light. Do you know in eternity, in the new heavens, new earth, do you know there will be no sun? The sun is even a symbol, and we don't worship the sun, but that is a symbol of Jesus being the light of this world, to show us where to go. We don't know anything outside of the light of Jesus Christ. And by the way, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Isn't that kind of neat?
Yeah.
That Jesus is the ultimate light of the world. But Jesus almost says, you're kind of my ambassadors. You're the light of the world. Where you go, I should go. Where you go, people should be brought near to Jesus. Where we go, people should be made aware of who God is.
Amen.
Day two, and the Bible says He created the sky and the waters. God created an expanse, which is the sky, to separate the waters above from the waters below. The biblical relation, again, as you navigate through God's Word, what does the Bible say about the expanse? What does the Bible say about the heavens? What does the Bible say about God's creation? They declare the glory of God.
Yes.
So He created this sky, He created this expanse, and at least in part, to display God's majesty, His beauty, His worthiness. Day three, he creates the land, the seas, the vegetation. God gathered the waters to create dry land, which is the earth, and seas. He then made vegetation, plants, and trees. How often does Jesus use these things in His parables? Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. These things in creation are pointing to spiritually deep ideas. Day four, the sun, the moon, the stars. God made two great lights, the greater light, the sun, to govern the day, the lesser light, the moon, to govern the night. He also made the stars. These, throughout God's Word, are signs of God's faithfulness, of God's direction, of God's order. We serve a God that is in complete control. If you take a little bit of time and you look at our solar system, look at what we can see of our universe. By the way, much of what we assume about the universe is done through mathematics because we can't see how vast this thing is. There's just a lot of assumptions. Sometimes we're taught that they're facts, aren't we? But anyways, no matter what, you look at the order of this world. Do you know if we were just a little bit one way or the other, we could burn to death, we could freeze to death, everything would be gone. Our God is a God of order. And we could keep going, but you understand these different things that God created are pointing to deep spiritual truths. Now, they're real. Again, just like we said in the beginning, these are real things. This is not all an allegory. These are real, real creations that are pointing to a spiritual truth. That's one of the hardest things for us as humans, is to understand that the spirit world is probably even more real than this. We look at this as everything, but I would argue the other way. Genesis 1:26. Creation changes a little bit, because everything else that's been created that's very important, it's created by Jesus, created for a purpose, created to point people ultimately to these different attributes of God that we have looked at. Genesis 1:26, then God shifts gears. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So I read that kind of slowly. Number one, it's really hot in here. Am I the only one? I mean, it is like unbelievably hot in here.
This thing was on here.
Oh, did it not? Is that not on? That's why I read it slow. It was kind of hot. But anyways, I wanted to read that slow because, again, this is one of those, if you read it too quick, you can just blow right past it and just keep kind of moving along. But let's read it again. Then God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. You see, anytime we come to these portions of Scripture where we can highlight the triune God that we serve, we need to stop and do that. Okay? God here is saying, let us make man in our image. Again, we see the Trinity at work here. the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It's not just Jesus, although he takes the primary role from what the Word of God seems to teach. But God says, let us make man in our image. We need to know that we don't fully understand how the Trinity works. There are some, because we can't understand it, have basically abandoned the teaching about the Trinity. But we need to know from the very first page of our Bible, the Bible is telling us that God is a triune God. Let us make man in our image. Now, there's some that will say, well, that's like a king. That's like a king. Let us make war. But that's not how people talk this old, this far back. That's not just the King James talking how they talk back in the 1400s or whatever. That's not how ancient Jewish writings were written. Let us make man in our image. No. This is the Trinity at work. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Some of us, we assume it, we take it for granted, and some of that is good. I'm glad you believe it. Some people, they hear that and they go, what? Are you saying we have three different gods? No. Then God, singular, says, let us make man in our image. Now, I went to public school. I don't know how all that works. But again, we have a high view of God. We have a big view of God. I am so glad that even though God is one, and yet he's saying, let us make man in our image, I am so glad that God is so big and complex and vast that I cannot fully understand him, and I just step back and I can raise my hands and say, you are an awesome God.
Amen.
And I believe in faith that what you're saying is true.
Yes.
God created man in his own image. What does it mean that God created man in his own image? In the simplest terms, we were made to resemble God. We resemble God. Now, there are heretics and false teachers, sometimes even on Christian TV. Be very careful, the Christian TV you listen to and watch, that'll tell you that you're a God. We're all little deities. We're all little gods. And I'm talking about people, when you go on to, I forget what it's called, what's the Christian bookstore? Not Berean. Lifeway. These are some of the best-selling authors and some of these goofs and false teachers. Well, you're a god. You were made in his image. When a horse has a horse, they have a horse. You're a god. But we were created in the image and in the likeness of God. We resemble God. Out of all of creation, including the angels, we are the only created being that can communicate with God the way that we can. Animals, we love animals. Yep. God created these animals. We were talking to a little kid yesterday for just a second. We were walking downtown, and I think Lori or Peyton said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to work with animals. And I remember our kids, they wanted to do that when they were younger. We have this thing almost baked into our DNA. We love the created order, don't we? We love animals. We love our little fur babies. We toted our big old dogs around yesterday. It was really, you'd think they were our little lap dogs, but they're bigger than us, you know. But those dogs, those animals, they cannot communicate with our Creator the way that we can. Why? They were not created in the image of God. Angels are a totally different spirit being, but they were not created in the image of God. In fact, I would argue that that's probably the linchpin that set Satan off to begin with. That God would create somebody in his own image that would have a higher order than him.
That's good.
That's why he hates you.
Yeah.
He was not created in God's image. Mm-hmm. Even though an angel is very powerful compared to our created abilities, we're going to judge the angels one of these days, Paul says. Don't you know that you will judge angels? I don't know what that all means. I just know this. Jesus did not die for the angels, as powerful as they are. We were created in his image. Mentally, morally, socially, we have the ability to choose. We have the ability to reflect. These are all attributes of God, and we are the crown jewel of God's creation. That's why we need to be good to each other. That's why we need to love one another. We are created in His image. Later on in the Old Testament, God says, if anyone kills somebody and sheds man's blood, then their blood needs to be shed. Why? They come right back to this here. Because man was created in God's image. We are valuable. We are unique. Okay? We were created in God's image. And He says, let us create man in the image of God. He created him. Male and female, He created him. And I know I might be going a little bit long, but we'll just finish this. God created. Now, 5-10 years ago, I don't know if I would have dwelled here. Satan, listen to me. We just talked about Satan. He is the great deceiver. He is the great liar. He has come into our society in so many ways. And now there is this thing called gender dysphoria. It's probably why I'm in Facebook jail. I hope I don't get Pastor Dave in Facebook jail. And listen to me. God created His creation, His humans, in His image, male and female. Male and female.
Amen.
And we are in a mission field where we look at the news and it kind of makes us laugh because it's so crazy in certain ways. You've got people pretending to be animals. You've got school systems that put cat litter boxes in the bathrooms. I'm not kidding.
That's true.
Because they think they're animals. And today I'm a boy, and tomorrow I'm a girl, and they're changing their genders, and then, of course, I'm not just a boy or a girl. I can be all of these different things, and our leaders do this for them, because why? Because many of them are influenced by Satan, and it's confusion, it's destruction, it's contrary to what God's Word says, and Satan does not care what the blindfold is, as long as you are led away from what this book says.
That's right.
This is our mission field, though. And listen to me. When you turn on social media, when you turn on the news, when you see the gay, lesbian Pride Month stuff in June, when you see these things, I want you to understand something. That God has set us to reach those people.
Yep.
To love those people.
That's right.
Not to belittle those people. And I know some of the stuff we see, and in my heart, which is deceitfully wicked, I really, when I laugh or make fun, I want to strangle the elites that are doing this. You're the popular one now. You're the one. Remember we did that, you know, all those years ago to so many different groups, and then we kick them to the side when we get what we want, and that's what will happen to these folks too. And the kids will keep getting their surgeries, and they'll keep getting their treatments, and then they will continue to commit suicide. Why? Because in there, and this is the mission field part, they're not wrong because they want to be different. They're not wrong because they want to be transformed. It's just their gender is not the thing.
Right. Yep.
God says, I will transform all of you.
Amen.
And that is the message we need to bring.
That's
good. God will, they're not wrong. You listen, in some ways, they're right on.
Right.
There's something inside of these people. They want to be different. They want to be new. They want to be there, you know, something that they are not. And what Christians need to say to them is Jesus is the way.
Yes.
To that. It transcends gender. At our church, we want to celebrate our boys and our girls. The little kids, and right now things are pretty basic, but we wanna, and this is what they're learning. I love this series because that's what they're learning right now. The handful of kids that we have, they're generally learning this stuff on their level. Aren't you glad that they're not just coloring a picture of Noah's Ark for 12 years? This is our mission field. Satan has told the trans community, the LGBTQ community. I know that there's a lot of overlap. He has told them, you can do it yourself. He's going to do that to Adam and Eve here in a couple of weeks. Don't listen to what that Bible says. Don't listen to what God says. Don't listen to what those bigoted Christians say. I wonder if Satan called God a bigot when he tempted Adam and Eve. We don't know. But he's always counterfeiting, isn't he? You can transform yourself. And it's a counterfeit. You can have your own destiny, and it's a counterfeit. And the truth of Jesus in love, we need to come to these folks. So what do you think 2x2 is all about? It's been pretty small in the beginning. It's still kind of exciting to think about. But listen to me, as our culture grows darker, we need to be loving to these people and let them know, you want to be new? You can be new. You want to be transformed? You can be transformed. Jesus is the way. Satan is lying to you. Genesis 1:28, and then we'll be finished. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Notice the first thing God did to his people. What did he do? He didn't say, you know, do a church service or give him the offering plate. Those are good things to do. He blessed them. And God blessed them. He loved them. He showered them with goodness and kindness and began a relationship with them. And then what did he do? After the worship, after the blessing, after the spiritual connection, he tells them, he's like, I got work for you to do. Mm-hmm. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Don't you hear the Great Commission?
Yeah.
Be fruitful, multiply. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Go, be fruitful and multiply. Why do we get so excited to see some of these seats filled? Why do we encourage us to be here on a regular basis? Why do we have a heart to see all of these chairs full and then some? Why do we have a vision, if God would allow one of these days, it may seem silly now, to have maybe multiple satellite campuses? Who knows? Andrew, his family knows about it. His sister and brother-in-law, they know all about it. It's because we are not to just be fruitful, but be fruitful and multiply. Reach this world with the truth that we're talking about. First thing God does is bless us. Then he sends us into his harvest field. God has given us work to do. Be fruitful and multiply. I want you all to be praying about who you can be multiplying with. Pray about it. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends. Pray that they come and are blessed by God. And then bring them to church if that's what they need. If they need a church family. We want this family to multiply. Why? The Way Church, along with any other real gospel-centered church, we want to multiply. I mean, I love knowing every one of your names. But wouldn't it be exciting if we didn't know everybody? That's happening. Fill the earth and subdue it for Christ. That's what we are to do. You see, we want to subdue this earth and have dominion, but not with swords, not with spears, not with tanks, not with nukes. We're going to subdue this world and have dominion spiritually with the love of Jesus. Jesus has put down your sword. We don't do it that way. We're going to take over this world with the love of Jesus. In a couple of weeks, we'll see how things went from good to bad. Our sovereign God allowed certain things to happen under his sovereign rule. We're going to see how things went from good to bad, how sin enters the world. But today, I want to end with the idea that God is always good.
Amen.
What does he say here? God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. God is very good. Our God is not just good. He is very good. And outside of him, there is no goodness. He's made everything good. And in him, he has made us very good. Not in and of ourselves. Jesus even said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And he's telling them, you're calling me good. You know, you're calling me God. There is no goodness. We see the lost. We see goodness inside of certain people. That's God's. We see the humanitarian efforts, people helping people. Maybe they're not a Christian, but that goodness that's inside of them, that has been given to them on loan by God. And they need to give him the glory for that. Today, let's end with the fact that we have a big, good God. He has created all things, and he wants to partner with us. wants to partner with us as his light goes throughout this world, as he fixes spiritually what we messed up. Again, we'll get into some of that in weeks to come.